Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
We're going to sing about the faithfulness of God. Are you ready to sing with us? We're going to sing about His faithfulness. It's such a faithful God. I've seen.
Blog Talk Radio.
We're going to sing about the faithfulness of God. Are you ready to sing with us? We're going to sing about His faithfulness. It's such a faithful God. I've seen Him show up for me in unique ways. You know, that's why I'm quite reckless when I worship. I can't do anyhow, anywhere beloved. Somebody say anywhere beloved. Are you ready to worship God with me like that? That is the kind of worship I want. So put your head, somebody scream. Woo!
Word.
again. Somebody screaming. I worship you. Oh, somebody lift your voice.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you. Hope everyone can hear me fine. Hallelujah. Let's see if we can get some audio. Thank you, Lord. Let me... why is it not allowing me to go into the chat room? Okay, let's see if we can. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, Yeshua, loud and clear. Well, thank you. Some people say they can hear us. Well, shalom, shalom, my brother and my sister. I'm here with my brother Tony. I apologize. Looks like we're having technical problem. Thank you, Lord. We're doing our best. Thank you, Jesus, to come on tonight and share God's word. Hallelujah, God's revelation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hope everyone is doing fine. Seeking the Lord, getting ready to be going home soon. The Lord is coming soon for his bride. As the Bible says, that he made herself ready. Amen. The bride have been repenting, seeking the Lord, preparing for the coming of Jesus. Amen. The Lord is coming for that bride. My brother and my sister, thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. When you see we're having a problem like that, please pray. Because for some reason, the program is being attacked more than ever now. My brother and sister, they are entities that don't want us to be in the air. And so, thank you, Brother Brian. Thank you, sister. And they are coming against the program, against us, so we don't come together. Hallelujah. Yes, shalom, Sister Wendy. And try to stop the program, but God is in control. We just need to continue to pray and seek the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, because only the Lord can make it possible. We're practically out of here. You see the title of the program, Father Yahweh said that the rapture is due. We're unto a share what Father says to me this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. What came out of his presence as I asked him, hallelujah, we all want to go home. We all want to be with God. We want to live this earth because we can see all the evil. I'm here with my brother Tony. And my brother Tony, say hello before I share.
Yeah, amen. God bless you all. How are you?
So, you know, as we see all this evil, we just want to go home. We do not want to be here any longer. My brother, my sister. And God understand how we feel. God understand what we're going through, my brother and sister. Amen. And the word Father has given me is the word do. I didn't have a good understanding of the word do, because do to me is something that you got to do now. It has to be done, right? And so I started asking my brother Tony, my wife, what really that word means. I look it up in the dictionary. Because when I asked him, he says, do. The rapture is do, he says. Then I'm like, okay. You know, and I have to look up the word. Amen. Thank you, brother. Look up the word. Shalom, Sister Luna. To really get a good understanding of what Father said, my brother, my sister. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. God loves us, my brother and sister, and God is for us. And that is a good thing about him. Amen. That we can always expect him to be with us and for us. Amen. Psalm 87:1, his foundation is in the holy mountain. And remember that the Bible said that the holy mountain. So his foundation has to be there, because it's about what he established. It looks like I won't be able to put him in the chat room. Amen. It's what he established. And so it says his foundation is in the holy mountain. And then Isaiah 11:9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the water cover the sea. Oh, I love that. That's what I was referring to earlier. That God has a mighty plan for us. Mighty, mighty plan. Amen. Shalom, Sister Regina. And it's that we're going to be full of his knowledge. We're going to be full of, you know, I've been telling Brother Tony, Brother Ben, I feel that I want to go to heaven and I want to go study. I seen that in heaven, there are great universities, even in the millennium, the new earth. And I've seen people starting and learning. And so I want to become an engineer. But it's more like a automobile engineer, electronic. You know, there's so many different things, my brother and sister. And so to my surprise this morning, when God takes me to heaven, my brother and sister, I see myself going to class, going to school. In our near future that is coming. And I tell you near because as Father's bringing me back out of heaven, it's when I said, Father, how close are we? And he says, it comes out of his presence to me. The rapture is due. Due. Okay? And before I go into the revelation, the word do meaning, you can say do to introduce a reason for something to happen. Something that are do are owe. Is that what you say, owe?
Yeah, owed. Yeah.
Owed.
Yeah, like when you owe something. Yeah.
Okay. And another meaning for do is it's time to come out with them. So that to me, that's ratchet right there. All are present. Another meaning in another dictionary. In another dictionary, having to reach the day for. Does that make sense? And then what's the other one here, Brother Tony?
Payment expected to happen.
Payment expected to happen. That's due.
Yeah.
And then arrive.
Arrive.
At a particular time. And how do you explain that particular time? Well, God's chosen time?
Yeah, his chosen time.
Expected to happen or arrive, another dictionary. And then this one says a particular time. And then he was due to fly back this morning. So you can really say do past things too, right?
Yeah, you could see it that way too, yeah. That's...
Thank you, Lord. So my thing is to go to heaven, go to those colleges after those universities and learn. The learning is fast and pure. Okay, someone's asking if the service is live. Are you live tonight, Brother Tony?
Yeah.
Brother Tony is live tonight. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Me, I want to go to heaven. So, again, we want to go to heaven and learn. So, in this revelation, God takes me to heaven, to the university. I'm in front of the university. Before I go in, I happen to look up for some reason. I noticed this huge angel, about 30 feet, I knew. Went into the building. It did not, it went like through the roof. Like in a mighty power, powerful angel went in. He didn't went in through the door. He just went in. And turned himself into about 6 feet. And looked to me like a woman. A teacher. It was a teacher. The teacher arrived. So when I look and I see that, I'm already impressed. Because when the angel comes into the room, the light of the angel lit it up the place. So I'm coming in through the door. The doorway was like a little hallway into it to going into class. It's a large building. It was a big building. In heaven, they had large buildings for classes for university. Learning in heaven is very important. You're going to love it. If it's something you're looking forward to, you are going to love heaven. I'm telling you because learning is a priority out there, especially of a God, in the things that you want to do that will benefit other people. Like your skill, whatever you learn, you can use it to bless other people. So it's a blessing. Again, before I continue, Isaiah 11:9, they shall not hurt nor destroy my holy mountain,
For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the water cover the sea. Okay? There is going to be much knowledge on the new earth, like you cannot even imagine. Okay? In that holy mountain, in that holy place. As it is in heaven, as Jesus taught us to pray, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, the angel, as I come into the door, standing in front of the class. It had a large board behind the angel. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. That's the good one right there, Brian. That's, remember the one we find for August?
Yeah.
The baby is due in August. I find that very curious because I seen something similar in a dictionary. We were looking at it together, and I said, August? Why August? The baby is due in August. And I have heard a word for August. That's why there's no coincidence in God. I heard someone talking about August. But it's all in God's hand. God is in control. No man knows the day and hour. So when I go into the class, I noticed that there was a few empty seats, but there were many people sitting there, redeemed sitting there. And so there were two seats specifically empty. And I go and take the one on the left, my brother and sister. And when I sat there, in front of me, I had a notebook. And I think I was wondering about the pencil pen for some reason. Some reason, earthly thinking, earthly minded, I'm thinking. And so when I sat in this chair, I noticed it was just like the college here seat. So when I sat down I'm looking at the angel a lot. For some reason, I was very impressed by the angel. And the angels like are looking at me too. Why are you looking at me? But the angel was not being mean or anything. Nice, because they are brothers and sisters. Because the Bible calls them son of God. And I have said this for many years in the Lord's Hour. Angels are our brothers. They are our brothers. Because Father, our Father, is our Father. And there's only one Father. That means that they're our brothers. So I'm looking at the angel because I don't see an angel every day. So what do you say, handsome, beautiful? And so I'm looking at the angel because I was impressed by the angel. I'm looking at the angel's face, the body, everything was like, wow, amazing. And the angel's looking at me. And so at that very moment, I see Brother Tony come into class. Now I'm like, I'm among family now. But they're like, I'm looking at Brother Tony. Oh, I didn't know you were interested in these things. Because I am, but, you know, I don't know about other people, what other people have in their heart, you know. For some reason, he wanted to come to class and learn the same thing I wanted to learn, become an engineer. And he comes with a bag. He starts pulling his notebook, put it on the thing, on the. But I noticed, like, he had a lot of information already on his notebook. Which lead me to understand that Brother Tony has been taking classes already. That maybe I'm the new guy. You already been there. Because, you know, because of what's going to happen in the days to come. You know? And so, he was already taking his note. And like, the angel said, get your notebook ready. And the angel had a pointer, right?
Yeah.
Set a pointer. Pointed to the board, large board, in front of us. And immediately the letters, the information that we went there to learn, was on the board, began to appear. Boom. All the information. And the angel said, take notes. And I'm thinking, where's my pencil? Where's my pen? But when I look at my notebook, what was in my mind looking at the board and looking at my notebook, in front of me, on my desk, immediately everything that I was thinking was being written in a notebook right away. Boom. I'm not used to this. I'm not used to that technology where everything is done immediately. On Earth, you pick up a pen, a pencil, and you write your notes, right?
Yeah.
In heaven, it's totally different. Totally different than what we know. Everything that I had in my mind from looking at the board was immediately being written in my notebook. And I noticed that I looked to Brother Tony and looked at his notebook. He had the same information already in his notebook. Like whatever was in his mind was already there. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm thinking like, I don't know if I got it. Like I asked Brother Tony, Brother Tony, do you understand what is in the board? He says, I got it. He says to me, I got it, Brother Elby. I got it. And so I'm like, wow. The information that is on the board that God, under the power of God, makes it appear. The angel just thought about it. Boom, it's on the board, the teacher. And he got it right away. Fully in his full brain in heaven, under the power of God, immediately you got an information that it takes a long time on the earth to be able to understand and break it down and understand it. But in heaven, boom, you just got it. You just got it. You go to a class, you sit down, the information is on the board, you look at it, you got it, you'll never forget it. Never forget the information. You can take a test next day and you'll pass it with 100%. You just got it. Amazing, amazing, amazing. I look at my notebook, immediately the line, how I wanted things to be aligned, across, down, north, south, across, boom, it was all nice and neat. Perfect. Perfect is the word. Immediately. You're like, we're not used to that yet. We're not used to that of perfection. But that's what awaiting us. My brother and my sister, this heaven is amazing. And I wanted to go to those classes. I had gone by those buildings in the desire of me to go in and see the class and see people learning. My brothers and sisters, it always been in me. And I want to be an engineer. I want to be a scientist. And that you can learn all that in a sitting. That's amazing. And never forget the information. Then go implement it right away. That's, to me, amazing. I'm looking forward to heaven because I'm telling you, that's what we need. We'll never forget anything. And everything is used for the blessing of other people, my brother and sister. And so, Brother Tony walks away. He grabs his bag. Okay, like, I'm done. This is it. I got it. He's walking away. Like, okay. I'm like, okay. So, I guess I'll leave. And I'm going outside. I was not allowed to see much more because everything is wedding celebration. I understand that. I'm allowed to see it in the inside, like at the building, but not go outside and see the wedding celebration because there are many gifts and things being prepared for us that are not allowed to see your gifts or not like that until we arrive. But then Father's bringing me down again, and I said to him, before he brings me down, how close are we to coming home in the rapture? Like desperately out of my heart, out of me, just came out to God. Please tell me how close we are. And out of his, you know, I didn't think I could ask that anymore. But God gave me the chance to ask. And out of him, out of his body, out of himself came out the word. The rapture is due. I didn't think God uses the word due. You know, think about it. I didn't think God uses the word due, but out of him came out the word, the rapture is due. And this is why tonight's message is about the rapture being due. My brother, this is set to happen. This is really set to happen, my brother and sister. And it's closer than what we think. Very soon we'll be out there. That's what God was showing me. And I felt it. I experienced it. that is so close, my brother and sister, the only thing we cannot point the finger to are they. That's wrong. Because, again, God wants us to be repenting and be ready. That's what he wants. Because as long as we are repenting and the blood of Jesus is cleansing us, that's how he'll keep us ready. I was thinking about the word last night, the bride made herself ready. And then I was thinking about the children of Israel in the wilderness. They never agreed with Moses. Moses, you brought us in the wilderness to die. Moses, we have better onion in Egypt. Complain, and murmuring. And Moses was trying to get them saved. Moses could not get them saved. God was using Moses to try to get them saved. But 5.5 million of them ended up dying in the wilderness. 5.5 million out of 6 million ended up dying in the wilderness. They will not repent of their wicked way and of their murmuring and complaint, my brothers and sisters. And I'm thinking about that, that God is working to get us to come to the promised land, heaven. He wants to bring us there. But we need to do our part, and it's repent. The bride made herself ready. We need to make ourselves ready through repentance. They did not repent. They did not make it. But then Joshua, Caleb, and then the repenter, they made it. And then the children that they taught, they made it. They repented. And so through repentance, God saves us. God brings us in. Because those that refuse to repent, that were unbelievers, the Bible says, they did not make it. They perished. That means that without faith, you cannot make it. You need to believe God. And your action to your faith is your repentance. Faith without action is dead. Faith without repenting is dead. So if you say you have faith, but you're not repenting to being ready for Jesus, it is not true. It is not true. The only way we can show God our faith is through our action. Even ourselves and even our brothers and sisters, through our action, repenting. Repenting is very important. Now, God brings me back, and then he brings me into the days ahead of us, what's going on the earth in the days to come. When he brings me back, my brothers and sisters, I encounter something that it shook me. My brother and sister, it really shook me, because the Bible talks about, what is it, great deception or delusion? Great delusion.
Yeah, delusion.
Great delusion.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, we talked about this lightly. Find me the verse of that great delusion, but it's only great delusion. The internet is not working here, as it should. Let me kind of leave it alone so it won't even get disconnected. I hope everyone can still hear me fine. Thank you, Lord. And so, strange flesh, like it talks about in Jude chapter 1. He brings me out, and I seen all these new people on the earth, beings. Strange flesh. Like, oh, this guy that came out of France is teaching the Bible here. Well, that came from other country. But I knew they were strange flesh. And they were sitting down with pastors, churches, and ministry, convincing them that gays and lesbians in the church is fine, including abortion. Okay? And they were convincing the people 100% to receive it and to believe it. My brother and sister, I walk into a church where one of them was teaching, and the pastor said to him, oh no, God would not be pleased with that, the pastor say. And he says, let's open the Bible. And he says to the pastor, this is what you've been believing, but this is the truth. It's okay for them to be that way. And started convincing the pastor and the leader. And all of a sudden, they were convinced by these things. They have this convincing spirit in them that they're going to convince and convict the people about gays and lesbians, just like they did in the times of Noah and Lot. Go ahead, brother. You have it?
Yeah. It says in verse 10, it says, and in all deceivableness of unrighteousness among them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And therefore God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe lies, that all they might be damned which believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness.
I did not look at the face of strong delusion as I saw it this morning. They are very convincing. They have a strong, convincing demon on them, or spirit, where they can convince pastors and church members and leaders easily. They were believing what they were teaching them easily. Without the resistance was in the beginning, and then they were convinced a few hours after, or less than an hour after, they're convinced. And then the church is being run practically by them right away, that it's okay, that it's fine. I was shocked standing there, coming down from heaven, and I thank God for bringing me to heaven first, then seeing that first. And immediately I'm like, how can these people, knowing what the Bible says in the book of Romans, okay, about men going with men and women with women, how they were deceived to do that, for by their own flesh, by their own lust, the Bible says, by their own wickedness, and knowing that they are doomed for destruction for that if they don't repent, how can now they be convinced that that is okay by these beings? But the Lord told us in his word. Read it again, Brother Tony.
Yeah. And then all deceivableness of unrighteousness among them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And therefore God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe lies, that all they might be damned which believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness.
Oh, my Lord. How do you explain that, Brother Tony?
Yeah, it's you know, they chose to believe it. It's because it was said there, because they chose that they might be.
So it's a matter of choice, in another word.
Yeah, because they believe not the truth and had pleasure in unrighteousness.
Oh, my Lord. And unrighteousness will be the same, like gay to homosexual lifestyle, right?
Yeah, it is.
My Lord, my God. What is coming? And the Bible calls it strong delusion, right?
Yeah, strong delusion.
Strong delusion. And when I seen this strong delusion of this fallen one, I immediately, what came to mind when I was there is that they already came through this April 8 thing that they were doing. Mm-hmm. And further, Shalom, Brother Miguel, this strong delusion that is coming on the earth, that is going to be, these things are going to be going around. Someone was explaining Nephilim. They are a type of Nephilim where they came out of men and fallen ones, and they were locked up, and they're going to now be allowed to be released. They come with a strong delusion. What's another word for strong delusion?
It says deceivableness here.
Deceivement.
Yeah, deceivableness. Delusion, being deceived is pretty much.
Wow, brother. That's. Same. I seen them. I was stunned how they are released. They come out and they go to the church as a pastor, and they open the Bible to them, and they convince them that it's okay for abortion, it's okay for gay marriage, homosexual couple, it's okay. And they convince the pastor without, and then I'm telling Brother Tony, how many of them that they got convinced by these things in the times of Noah, how many of them listen to Noah and repent?
Yeah.
Not even one of them. My brother, Noah came to them preaching the gospel of truth. And they were convinced by this thing that brings a strong delusion. And Noah could not convince one of them. And the Bible says, and so it shall be in the coming of the Son of Man. When I saw them going around, the God showed me, in the days to come, they're going to be manifesting themselves on the earth and going around. And you'll just see a person, a handsome man, a beautiful woman, coming with such a knowledge, okay, with a Bible on the hand, convincing the pastor and the leader in the church that these things are okay, that they should already have that. And these people are convinced right away and accepted in the churches. They were going churches by churches, my brother and sister. Churches by churches, convincing the leaders that gay and lesbian marriage was okay in the churches, and the pastors and the leader of the church were receiving their doctrine, were being convinced. Okay, in the beginning, they were a little hesitant and quoting the Bible. But after these things sat down with them and began to explain it to them, they got this convincing, just what the Bible says. Read it again, Brother Tony.
Yeah.
Because it's how they come to the people.
Yeah. It says, and then all deceivableness of unrighteousness among them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And therefore God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe lies, that all they might be damned, because which believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. And the part that the gospel will send them.
Yeah.
And that's what Father was, they're going to be out there. They're going to be coming out. Mm-hmm. And they will go out to the churches. This, I believe this strong delusion is going to be the biggest test of the church and humanity. The biggest. Because seeing, as I saw them convincing people quickly and easily, I was stunned. Like, stunned. Like, how can you pass in your church? Let them convince you that easy. I mean, some of these churches, 30, 40, 50 years. Some churches have 15,000, 25,000 members. And for these things to go to these pastors and lead and convince them of this lifestyle, wicked, evil lifestyle, and then it immediately is part of the church doctrine. It's okay. It's fine. And Father wanted me to see this. Father wanted me to hear the come. I heard them talking to the minister, to the pastor, to the churches, convincing them quickly. They were knocking on the door. I'm so-and-so, and I'm coming here to share the word with you. And these people allowed them in, and they got convicted by them. Churches that they're not believing homosexual, gay, lesbian lifestyle, doctrine, now we're being convicted by this thing. And the word that comes to my mind is the strong delusion the Bible talks about. In the times of Noah, this strong delusion was on the earth. And Noah could not convince one of them to come out of the lifestyle. Noah could not convince one of them who had been taught by the fallen Nephilim that this lifestyle was okay by God, was fine. Noah could not convince them that that was wrong. His teaching was teaching of truth. Noah is a man of God. He's in heaven. Could not convince one of his leaders back in his time, one of the church's leader or pastor, back to go back again to the holy way of God, to change the way from the teaching of the fallen Nephilim that brought to them the teaching of strong delusion to try to get them out. Noah cannot get them out. Come out of her, my people, so you don't take part in her play. Noah cannot convince them. My brother and sister, can you imagine where society is going now? Oh, it's going exactly where the generations of Noah and Lot went. Lot cannot convince his neighbors not to try to be with the angel, not to come and try to have a relationship with the angel because it was an abomination. Do not do such a thing, beg Lot to them. Take my daughter, but do not lay hand on these people. Do not do such a wickedness thing. And the angel said, Lot, step aside and blind all of them. Because the angel knew they would not listen. They would not listen. The Nephilim had convinced them they would not listen. We're talking about the same now. Fallen one, Father, show me what in days. Occupying the earth, released from the prison to go around, convincing people, the church to pass, whoever's left, of this lifestyle, like in the times of Noah. Because this will bring destruction upon people's life. Because to God is an abomination. For a woman to marry another woman, for a man to marry another man, is an abomination. Abortion is an abomination. He will not tolerate these things. It will bring this, he will bring destruction upon humanity for it. And these things will be released and allow this to start on this earth in the days to come. My brother, my sister, we are living in the most difficult time of humanity. May God help us, my brother and sister, because, hallelujah, the souls that we lost, the great tribulation we know is also close to start, my brother and sister. But this is all close. This is all close. Hallelujah. How do they come to the people? In the book of Jude 1:3 says, Beloved, while I was giving all diligently, I write unto you the common salvation. It was needful for me to write to you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For they are certain men, and that's what I was looking at, men. They look like men. They turn into men. They have that ability to change into those men. Certain men who are crept unaware. Who is aware of them creeping, Brother Tony?
Yeah.
No one.
Yeah,
no one. When the Bible says that they come in unaware, that's the word crept, right? Come in unaware.
Yeah.
When the Bible says that they come in unaware, is that by the time they're around us, no one knows where they come from. It's like you, people won't even say, so where do you come from again? Unaware, they already be among us. That's what Father was showing me this morning, my brother and sister. Certain men have crept unaware who were foreordained of old. How old are they, Brother Tony?
Foreordained.
Foreordained. And look at the word that follow with them. Condemnation.
Yeah.
Foreordained of old for this condemnation. What does that say to you, Brother Tony, about them?
It reminds me, you know, the Father would knew that that would happen,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
mm-hmm.
that's how I see it as like, you know, it's like that's what foreordained means, you know, like it was almost like planned before, you know.
Who were foreordained of this whole condemnation, ungodly man. What does that tell you now?
Ungodly man.
They don't come from God.
Yeah.
They don't come from the third heaven.
No.
They don't come from the throne.
No.
God did not send them. God did not send them. Okay? I don't know who sent them. It's hard to say who sent them because it doesn't tell you who sent them. No. Isn't that incredible? Ungodly men, turning the grace of God are in the time of grace. In this time of grace, okay, is when they will be around. The Bible is very specific. Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Which of lasciviousness related to what, Brother Tony?
greediness also, right? Lasciviousness or greediness, lust, greediness.
It's usually related to lust.
Okay.
See, lasciviousness, feeling sexual desire. Lawlessness or lewdness.
Yeah.
My Lord, my God. That's what they were doing. That's why it was about gays and lesbians and abortion. Once they get churches to approve to that, you know where everything is heading.
Yeah.
Heading away from God. Okay? So what did they do? Turn the grace of our God into lasciviousness, denying the only God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So as long as they can do this and deny God and all this, and get people to go back to this type of sin, humanity is in trouble. What I saw in the days to come is trouble, like I never seen in my 52 years of age, that I just turned this April. I never seen so much trouble coming to the earth, like I saw in the days to come, of these things coming to deceive humanity, going around, creeping unaware, knocking on church's door, and changing church's doctrine. My brother and sister, this is going to be horrible. For those, remember when the Lord told us to come out of the churches? The Lord told us so, because the Lord knew what was coming. It happens in the times of Noah. It happens in the times of Lot. God did not want us to be deceived. Come out of her, my people. Because in general, they are heading to the church. They're heading to mislead the pastor, to change the doctrine. My brothers and sisters. And then they'll deny God and the Lord. I will therefore put in remembrance, though, ye once knew how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who believe not. The problem is that if people get tired of waiting for the Lord for the rapture and even begin to deny the rapture, they're going to fall. They're going to fall into the misbelief of the teaching of the great delusion, strange flesh that are already manifesting on the earth. And they're going to deceive people in such a way that they're going to notice themselves. They're going to notice how they see they've been in hell. In hell. Not on this earth. In hell. Because once the church is gone, 7-year great tribulation began. And then these things are all over the earth, deceiving humanity like humanity have no idea. And at this very moment, it's going to be difficult to be unsafe because you got to choose and say, oh, no, behead me, go ahead, kill me. And they're going to look at you and laugh and say, oh, you thought it won't be that easy, huh? We're going to have fun with you first. Because they want to get people to denying the Lord, denying the Father, denying the Lord, the Bible says. Not denying the Lord. How do you get someone who's a believer to deny the Lord? Maybe beating them, cutting their arms, their legs. They're going to get there with people, my brother and sister, to deny how having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, after they destroyed those who did not believe, by going a little back, denying the only God, Lord God, and our Lord Jesus Christ. How do you get people, how do you get humanity to deny the Father and the Lord? That's going to be tough, brother.
Yeah.
They're going to have people denying the Lord, Father and the Lord. The strange flesh. That's what's coming to the churches. These things to deceive people in such a way.
Yeah.
Then he put in remembrance, though, you knew that this how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. That we just got disconnected? Oh, my Lord. Now, and the angel who kidnapped the first state, but left their own habitation, he had reserved an everlasting change unto darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. unless the fathers and mothers of Nephilim are locked up, but not the children. My brother and sister. Then, verse 7, in Sodom and Gomorrah, the city around them like the manna giving himself over to fornication and going after what? Strange flesh. They went after strange flesh. There is a strong delusion coming upon the earth. And the only protection you and I have is our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be repenting daily, coming under the protection of our Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what you see, I don't want to bring fear into your life because it's all about Jesus and it's all about going to heaven and it's all about being with God, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Going back to the New Earth, Isaiah 30:29, you should have a song as in the nine when a holy solemnity is kept. Gladness of heart, and when one goes with a pipe to come into the mountain of the Lord, the mighty one of Israel. God has a great plan of joy and happiness for us in the new earth. And it says that these people come as in the night when the holy solemnity is kept. It's going to be during the night that we now just take it to sleep, and the new earth will be to celebrate, dance. I was taking to the millennium in the middle of the night one time I share, and it was a feast going on. People were dancing in the middle of the street in the millennium. And it was awesome. No one there was thinking about going to sleep. It was all about dancing and celebrating, as God said through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 30:29. Isn't that incredible? Isaiah 56:7. Even then I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. And burn offering and their sacrifice shall be accepted upon my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer unto all the people. And this is what we were saying, that the sacrifice that the Jewish people are bringing to God is not like a lot of people have been thinking over the years, that is equal to what Jesus did on the cross. No. He even said that the sacrifice as animal was not pleasing unto him. The only sacrifice on the cross, the lamb that was crucified, Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, is the only sacrifice God the Father received. But this sacrifice that God commanded the Jewish people is a sacrifice of obedience and to come into unity, assembling before the Lord together to worship God and see God. That's why God received the sacrifice. But listen to this. The Antichrist, 7 of this month, April, the Jewish people had a schedule to begin the sacrifice. It has to be postponed to the 22nd. It was postponed to the 22nd because the Antichrist was happening in the Middle East. Iran attacking Israel yesterday and all this stuff that they've been waiting for, delayed the sacrifice. 4 times in the book of Daniel, Daniel asked, what is going to happen with his people in the end of time? And what is revealed to Daniel? What is the first thing that Gabriel, the Lord, God reveals to Daniel? That the sacrifice will be stopped, interrupted. 4 times, the Antichrist, it is revealed to Daniel, come against the sacrifice. Look what happened in April 7th this month. It was postponed to the 22nd. 8 days from now, they're looking to make the first sacrifice, April 22nd. But look, the war started yesterday. Why did Iran, first of all, every time the Jewish people plan to do something in those seven, which means fulfillment in the Bible, they know that God's number, seven. When did Hamas attack Israel? Last year, 2023, October 7th. October 7th. 7th of April, they were planning to begin the sacrifice. It has to be postponed because Iran has been saying they're going to attack the Jewish people. 8 days from now, they're planning to do the sacrifice if Iran will allow them. Remember the Lord taking me to the Middle East a few weeks back, and I shared with you he was there planning to attack Israel? what it was revealed to Daniel, that he stopped the daily sacrifice. The Antichrist don't want the Jewish people to make the sacrifice to their God, my brother and sister, because it means that when they begin the sacrifice, they will assemble themselves together and their mind and heart comes to God again. And the Antichrist doesn't want that. The devil doesn't want that. This is why they got attacked yesterday. And this is why now they're going to have to attack Iran. And this begins World War III. Remember the dream God given me a few months back? That President Biden is going to send to the Middle East back the kitchen sink. He's going to send the army, lose them. Send the reserve, lose them. And then begin to ask the people, Abel's body, to join the war in the Middle East, my brother and sister. This is what's going to happen. What Iran did yesterday, and I told you of this, I warned you of this, that Iran have made really good missile. The missile that they launched to Israel yesterday were cheap missile, but were able to get to Israel. They were the cheapest they can make because they're waiting with the better ones for Israel to attack them, because this began World War III completely, or follow-up with World War III. Because a lot of people say, already began. Okay? They are waiting for Israel to go attack them. And when Israel does attack them, something else will come out of that. But then United States will get involved. Biden will get involved. And they're going to lose their soldier, lose their reserve, and then ask the people to join the army, to join my brother and sister to defend their country. And then we know the outcome to that, because that's what they want. There's a plan B with all this. Plan A is to get Israel to attack Iran and get United States to join Israel and other nations. That's the plan A. Plan B will be for this country to become unprotected, for them to attack this land. All this is within days. My brother, that's the plan B. But they got to execute plan A, which began last night, my brother and sister. Everything that I told you on the Lord's Hour that's been happening has been happening in the Middle East. I told you what will be happening, especially when the Lord showed me what's coming. The Mahdi, the 12 imam to the Arab world, is in the Middle East. And he's meeting with them. And he's is the one leading this, what's happening in Iran. This is why I know Father last year came to me and told me that he would allow him to begin his reign. And I saw the Antichrist with his army, with the U.S. Army, begin to come against people to force them, Revelation 13:16, to have a mark on the right hand or on the forehead, great and small, rich and poor, to have this mark. And he began to force people. And in that dream, because the Lord put me there, I said to the Antichrist, which I know who it is, and I told you who he is, you know I'm not taking your mark, I told him. And he says, I know, LV, I know. He said my name. He said my name. He has said my name from the day the Lord had taken me. He was in Pennsylvania 1600. He said my name. He knows my ministry. My brother and sister, I am telling you, these things have been coming to pass exactly as the Lord has shown me. Every single event. Even when I said that Iran will be the nation that will be used by the Antichrist in the last day, so many people came against me. And I kept showing what the Lord was showing me in the Bible, and look what we are. Iran is the nation that will use against Israel to lead the United States into an endless battle where the United States will become broke, where we will come down as a nation, will lose their army, the Marine, and all the power that they have. They will lose that in Iran. I was looking into the map online from Jerusalem to Tehran, Iran. It's about 1,000-something mile, not a lot, 1,043, 23. mile of distance. That's what those missiles had to travel to hit Israel, my brother and sister. Israel's being warned now not to go and attack Iran. But everyone knows Netanyahu. And he's not going to step back and allow Iran to put him to shame this way. Because they don't want to tell you what Iran destroyed. The target. Iran has a media what they destroyed. And the target that they destroyed were important in Israel. Yes, 99% of the missile was stopped. But the other percent that hit the target, they're not telling you what target it was. These were military installations, military warehouses where they keep the weapon. And Netanyahu is angry. He's not going to stand back without going to Iran and bring a lesson to Iran. But the lesson is World War III in the Middle East. Watch it now. Write it down. Watch the outcome out of all this. Because the Lord showed me, Biden will be involved and will send everything United States have to the Middle East. But nothing will return back home. Every soldier that will be sent to the Middle East are not coming back. They will be killed over there. And how do you know? China have their submarine there and their carrier. India have their carrier and submarine. Turkey have their carrier and submarine. They've been parked there for months now waiting for this. And so Russia the same. Submarine carriers. But all the military ship that can knock down missile plane and everything are there in position around Iran and Israel. They've been parked there for months. And now the action that began last night is getting their alarm going off now. Why do you think they're there and what they've been waiting for? World War III. World War III is at the door, and people are asleep. Instead of being repenting and praying and seeking the Lord, people are asleep. I guess they need to hear 25, 50 million people lost their life in order to be awake and say, wait, we are in World War III. My brothers and sisters, this is all just the beginning. God is giving us time to repent. The lunar eclipse we got this month, solar eclipse, was a sign, biblical sign, for us to stay awake for what is coming. Because it's been said this is the last one. And when God says it is the last one, it is the last one. We're not going to see another one. This is the final eclipse given to us, significant to this nation, which means, what did the eclipse mean? According to history, the end of the United States of America. That's what that eclipse means. Did anyone got the message from heaven, from God? God had this from the beginning set up this way. And for us, if we read his word, understand what God has been saying. Any nation that has gotten four or more has been the end of those nations through history. And this nation got the fourth one already, okay, sent to it. As a cross again, so like an X. You're done. You're finished, Babylon. This is it. Now going into Iran, they're going to send everything, and they think they're going to end it and come out of it. No, they're not. Because China and all these countries that are there, they're not there. They're not there just to bluff and say, oh, we were there. They're there to finish a business, to finish a nation. And their eyes is not on Iran. Their eyes is here to finish this nation. And that's the beginning where they're going to finish it. They're going to start it because they made Iran last year quickly advance as one of their members. And if they read it down, they met, they had their own meeting and said, that now Iran, whoever attacks Iran, it's an attack on us, say China and Russia. Okay, and those that join. So what does that mean? It means that Netanyahu will go for Iran. But it's not going to be easy for anyone because United States will be involved. And there will be all United States money going into it, broke the nation, God already said through his prophet, this nation is about to be broke completely. Completely. The stock market is about to fall. People will see it very soon. It's going to fall because everything will be sent to the Middle East. My brother and sister, days from now, Israel's given 2 days. Days from now, after the 2 days, Netanyahu will send a tremendous force against Iran. And that will be the beginning where the United States will get involved. But what Russia and China said, whoever attacks Iran is attacking us. And they will also get involved afterward. They're just going to let it start. So they will tell the UN, look what they're doing to a sovereign nation. Let us. Now you cannot stop us from getting involved. They're just waiting for these people to do this, for Netanyahu and Biden to do this. And then they'll point finger and say, see what they done? We're going to finish this. This is it. When God said this is it, when God said it's it, I'm looking for the signs. Since Father spoke to me last year, I've been looking for the sign and looking to see, you know, what the eclipse was, the final sign for us, for this nation, as a nation, that this is the end. And now what's going to end up happening is, I want you to notice something in the book of Daniel that I was reading earlier. I want to show you Daniel 12, how specific, my brother and sister, in Daniel 12, about the Antichrist in the time. I read it before, but I got to read it again. Daniel 12, 11. From the time the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that make it desolate is set up. Who is setting it up? There is a set up things being done here. But who is setting it up? See, there has to be a time to set up things, to put things in place, to say, okay, now look at the time now. There shall be 1,290 days. Those are the first 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. We're talking in Israel about the sacrifice this month. And for this to be set up, that means a temple constructed. It's 8,290 days. Notice how specific it is to the 90 days. Those are the first 3.5 years. Look what happened in verse 12. Blessed is he that waited to come to the 1,300 now. Those other ones, 290. There's a 305 in 30 days. You see the difference? The last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation are a little bit more than 3.5 years than the first half, because the 1,290 days that are given for the Antichrist, or that are given for the sacrifice to be stopped completely, in which is the Antichrist coming to the temple of God, God is giving it to the Jewish people. Look, you're going to have this time to contract your temple, which that's what will bring back Messiah. That's this. The third temple, the significant, the rabbi has said this. You can look it up on video. You can search it. Why is the temple needs to be constructed? Because it signifies Messiah returning to Israel, to the promised land. And that is him fighting for the Jewish people, defending the Jewish people. That's why I tell you the sacrifice means then getting back in relationship with God and through repentance. Messiah returned, my brother and sister. At the middle of the tribulation, the first 1,290 days, he stops the sacrifice. He just stops it. No more. No more. Because now he understands. If he allows the Jewish people to continue with this, Messiah comes and sat there, and there's nothing he can do. He knows the power of God. So he'll stop it before they can continue beforehand. And that will give him another 3.5 years. Because the Great Tribulation is 7 years. He knows that very well. He knows that very well. But in Revelation, we are told that the rider gets in his white horse, and he goes down to conquer, And a lot of people say, well, that's the Antichrist. No. The one that goes, the one that conquers, that goes to conquer is our Lord Jesus Christ. And the moment they make the temple and they're doing the sacrifice, Messiah is heading down. That's, Rabbi knows this, that the only thing that will bring Messiah back is constructing the temple and starting the sacrifice that God told them to do so. And you can argue whether the sacrifice is good or not, but Abraham makes a sacrifice unto God and God received it. And then we got a bunch of Bible verses where David and a bunch of them made the sacrifice and God received the sacrifice. But then David himself said that God was not pleased with the sacrifice of bull or animal. So it's not about the sacrifice. It's about the act of obedience before God. And so when the Jewish people established the temple and the sacrifice first in the temple, that's an act of obedience. And the devil is looking forward to stop them, my brother and sister. But what is coming, I heard someone say, not even prayer will stop what's going to happen in the Middle East. Because God said it is the end. It is the end of all things, my brother and sister. And it has to happen. And Daniel 11 says he comes like a flood. He is coming to take over. And God is allowing it, my brothers. Because this is the end. He's about to take his children home. The bride of Christ, my brother and sister, must go home. The indignation, which is 7-year great tribulation, what did God say to the prophet Isaiah? Come into thine chamber and close the door behind thee until the indignation passes. 7-year great tribulation while the church is in heaven enjoying the wedding celebration. My brother and sister, he told us in the parable of the 10 virgins, when he comes in the midnight hour, we are right now in the midnight hour. If God allowed time to go forward, then you can say, well, God, what happened? You say you're coming in the midnight hour, Lord. See, God cannot lie. We are at the, he is coming now because we are in the midnight hour and we are in the right time. Again, Matthew 25, okay? In case you have forgotten about the midnight hour, okay? Again, Matthew 25:6, and at the midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go out to meet him. That midnight hour, that when the bridegroom cometh, now. It doesn't say that he passes the midnight hour. It doesn't say that we have to wait because, no, he comes at the right time. What is the right time? The midnight hour that we're in now. The only thing we don't know is the day and hour, but we know by the signs that we're in the midnight hour, my brother and sister. And the bridegroom comes at the midnight hour, and then the virgin arose and trimmed the lamps. The foolish said to the wife, give us of your oil and your lamp, for our lamps had gone out. But the wife was saying, no, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. That is the gospel that's going to be established about all about money. In other words, so while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and then that were ready with him went to the marriage, and the door was shut. When there is no time left, you can say, well, I'm going to go ahead and buy what I need. When there's no time left, even you saying I'm going to go buy what I need, you don't have time for that. We don't have that time anymore. We don't have that luxury of time anymore. This is it. Whatever is going to be done now. I love it. Sister Crystal yesterday, I believe it was yesterday, we were listening to her message, the message she got from the Lord. Yesterday, right? We were meeting.
Yeah, I think it was the day before. Yeah.
Before yesterday?
Yeah.
She got this revelation from the Lord. And the Lord showed her everything now ready for the Lord, and that the Lord is coming for his bride. And the great tribulation is about to start. Several people have seen it already. I have seen it. Several people have seen the great tribulation. That is a 7-year great tribulation about like any day now to start. Think about it. If the great tribulation is about to start, how close you think we are for the rapture? the Passion of the Bride of Christ? How close do you think we are? Just think about it. I beg God this morning. I beg Father to tell me how close we are. And of course, he's not going to give me the day and hour because he's not going to give it to anybody. But this is what he says to me. The rapture is due. And that's why I looked up the word due. And the word due, it has really beautiful significance in the regard to it's time to come up with them, is one of the meaning in one of the dictionary. And things are that are due are old, right?
Yeah, old.
So it's close. I mean, this is closer than now it has never been. This is it. And he showed me that in the days to come, the strong delusion. When he showed me the strong delusion, the church was not around anymore. The church is gone. The church is gone. I didn't see anymore. Church was gone. So what do you say to that? I mean, I have to tell it to you how it's shown to me. And then you can take it into prayer and say, Brother, well, I'll take this into prayer. Maybe I don't understand. Some people say, I don't agree with what you're saying sometime. Okay, take it into prayer with the Lord. But I tell you, from what I know, from what's been shown to me, from what I've been seeking God about to help me understand and show me, it is close. Now, you got people coming against the rapture now. They've been doing it for years, but now more than ever, be careful with people who are coming against the teaching of the rapture, because a lot of them are sent to do so by the enemy. And they want you to stay behind a coast because it gives them a bigger chance to come against you and have you denying God, denying Father and the Lord, as we read. The work of the strange flesh is for you, as we read in the book of Jude, for you to deny Father and the Lord. Hallelujah. God have mercy. For there are certain men who are crept unaware, who were foreordained of all for this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They want you to deny the Father and the Lord. That's what they're creeping unaware, to bring destruction upon our life practically. Because without the Lord Jesus, without Father, we're not going anywhere. We need God. We need the Lord. And so this is why, my brother and sister, they want to bring that denial into our life. As people say, you're in denial. They want to bring denial into our life. And then begin to deny God, deny everything. And you got a lot of people now who say they're not Christian anymore. Even famous artists are saying they're not Christian anymore. And what's the name of that girl that said she's not a Christian anymore, that she's just a musician? There was someone there, I forget her name, and I used to listen to her music. I stopped. I'm not going to listen to someone who's denying God. Okay? I'm not going to. Because that's where it begins. When people begin denying the Lord and God, it begins to mislead people in ways. And that's what you're having. When you got a minister telling you, oh, I'm not sure what the Bible says saying there, and he keep preaching that message to you, be careful. Because the word of God is not for doubt and unbelief. On the contrary, one of the sins that we just read that the children of Israel committed, my brother and sisters, one of the sins was, it says that, I will therefore put you in remembrance that ye once knew this, how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who believed not. Why did he need to destroy those people, Brother Tony? Help me out here. Help me out. Why did God need to destroy these people who believe in that?
Yeah, because, you know, it's you know, it's clearly said in the book of Hebrews, you know, that without faith, you know, we can't please God. So it's, you know, it's, I see it as unbelief, as denying him, you know. It's because you're not believing in God, so you're not believing, you know, in him. And so it's really, unbelief is really, grievous, you know. In the book of John, it's even more clear to say that those that don't believe are already condemned, the Bible says, you know, in the book of John. So that tells you, you know, how true, you know, the Bible confirms unbelief, you know. And so that's something that, you know, through unbelief, a person can go ahead and deny God. You know, through unbelief, someone can, you know, can make a decision that of, for example, taking the, like the mark of the beast, you know, something that can condemn them, something that, you know, is through unbelief, and because they're not rooted in God, and they're not rooted in the Lord, and so that's unbelief, you know. It's just, you know, just not being rooted in God, just not, you know, because if you're seeking God with all your heart, you're loving him, you're seeking him, there's faith there, you know, that shows that you're believing in him. But, you know, but without faith, you know, it's just clearly, you know,
But to destroy them because they did not believe?
Yeah, that's exactly what it says in the book of Hebrews also. You know, it's well, you know, when it says that, it confirms it. It just confirms what Jude says, you know, that God destroyed them, you know, because of their unbelief. They didn't make it to the promised land, you know. In other words, they, you know, they weren't saved. They couldn't make it because of their unbelief.
And you know, one of the worst things about unbelief, the people that begin to doubt God and not believe his promise, they go on contaminating other people.
Yeah.
And leading other people in the same way of their unbelief and doubt. And then you have a multitude of people who used to believe, now denying God, denying the Bible, denying, is that Bible even truth? And they go on, and then the children that are listening, that are learning, now are learning doubt and unbelief.
Yeah.
And they'll all grow up. If God did not cut them out of the way, the children that went into the promised land with Joshua would not been able to go in with Joshua, because they would have out of their parents the same doubt, the same unbelief, questioning everything without faith, and contaminating them. And then God would have to destroy them too. So God went and acted to save the children, because the parents were already lost. Because without faith, it is impossible to please him.
Right.
That he that comes to God must believe that he is, he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Yeah.
And when we're not there, we become dangerous.
Yeah, it is.
If we're not walking by faith and only walking by sight, we're dangerous to society. We're dangerous to our brothers and sisters. We're damaging them. We're hurting them. Even with the best intention in heart, because a lot of people, but Brother Obie, I have the best intention in heart, but you're still hurting someone with your doubt and unbelief. You're hurting them. If that's what you're projecting to them, you're hurting their lives. They're hurting their walk with God, because then the people don't get to seek God and know God and walk with God and learn of God.
Yeah,
you're hurting their life, and that's where we need to be careful, that we don't become like they. I watch my own step on that, whether I'm walking by faith or not, or am I doubting? Because we can hurt other people. And God has not called us to hurt anyone, but to polish one another, encourage one another. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That example is so bad that someone say, I wanted to give up because of bad example.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Bad example lead other people to give up and say, you know what, I'm not doing this anymore. The devil steps in there in bad example. And that's why God had to act this way with them and said that, afterward destroy those who did not believe. He has to. Because, my brother and sister, a person who doesn't believe becomes dangerous, destructive in other people's life. The person wants to pray, the person wants to see God, but having that other person there, it just, hallelujah, don't help them to seek the Lord. It's a stone on their ways.
Yeah, that's right.
God have mercy. Because Jesus said, it's not the will of God that anyone will perish. Not his will that anyone will perish.
No.
But that they may have life, have it abundantly.
Yeah.
He came to save. He came to save, not to destroy. God have mercy. And from the beginning, this is the way it's been. And the warning that this will be happening in the time of grace that you and I are in, my brothers and sisters. It says that for the certain men who have crept unaware, for who were ordained of the oath for this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ, they began to deny. Oh, that's not true. That's not the way you think. And I heard them saying to the pastor, I think you got a misunderstanding, pastor. And then they began to explain the words supposedly to them and lead the pastor to believe in gay, homosexual agenda. And then you had the pastor, changing their mind and the congregation. And now, okay, gay and lesbian marriage is okay and abortion is okay. And immediately they changed. And I was there, and God had me watching, listen to the whole conversation, and I'm listening. I could not believe these pastors, they go around the churches convincing them to believe in marrying gay and lesbian and believe in abortion. And the pastor, okay, they were changing their mind. Yes, okay. And I'm like, come on. You're supposed to be standing on the word. God told us that these things will be strong delusion. To the Romans, right?
Thessalonians.
Strong delusion will come.
Yeah.
And we're living in that time of strong delusion. And we ourselves, my brother and sister, hallelujah, need to be careful. Who do we? One of them, I came out of that church after God took me there to hear me, for me to hear the conversation, and one of them followed me and was trying to convince me, and I was telling him, stay away from me, convince me that gays and marriage was okay, was fine, and that why would I reject it? And I said, stay away from me, because sometimes if when someone don't want to hear you, or will not listen to you, it's better for you to walk away from them, my brother and sister. It is better to walk away from them and stay away from them because they'll try to convince you that their point of view in regard to that, my brothers and sisters. It says in Romans 1:17, for therein the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. We live by faith, not by sight. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. See, what do? They hold the truth in unrighteousness. Dangerous. Because which may be known of God and manifested in them, for God has shown it unto them. From the creation of the world, the invisible thing, him are clearly seen, being understood that through the things that are made, even his eternal power of Godhead, so that they are without excuse. But wait, I got a good excuse, they say. No, they're without excuse. No excuse. But I got to tell you this, brother. No. Verse 21, for when they knew God, they neither glorify him as God, nor were thankful. I really take this to heart when the Bible says to be thankful. Because
yeah.
I heard a message a long time ago. God spoke to this pastor, said that we're not thankful. So a lot of time we're not grateful for the things he gives us. And then, like the children of Israel, we do is complain. And being thankful is important before God. And he said that they were not thankful. And but because of vain in their imagination, they became vain in their imagination, became. So does it mean that they were not, but then they became?
Yeah, that's what it reminds me of. Yeah, they weren't, but they became vain in their.
They became vain. And their foolish heart were darkened. What does that mean? The foolish heart become darkened, Brother Tony.
Like impure. Is a
contaminated?
Contaminated, yeah.
With sin became darkness.
Like hardened, right?
Hardened, yeah, hardness can be when someone's heart changes. See, Bible says we believe in our heart, right?
Yeah.
We confess with our mouth but believe in our heart. Mm-hmm. So faith in our heart is like the foundation. And when people are convinced to go either way, in their heart they have become lukewarm already. They have allowed darkness into their heart. And that's where it proceeds if they don't repent and turn even worse. You know? So the heart became darkness. Professing themselves to being wise, they became fool. What do you think about that one? These people were very smart. They were professing. Professors. Professing. Professor, I see it. Very smart people.
Yeah.
How do they become fools?
That's when they think they're right on what they're doing, but before God, it's not.
And look what they do. They change the glory of the incorruptible God into the image like incorruptible men. To a bird, four-footed beast, and a creeping thing. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart. How do you explain the lust of their own heart?
It's their own, the desire of the person. It's what's.
So everything that they thought it was okay, it was not okay.
Yeah, it was not.
It sounds like back in Genesis 6 that it says that the heart, the mind was continuously wicked, evil, continuously.
Yeah.
So there was like a contamination to themselves. Loss of their own heart to the son of their own body among themselves. Now, the son of their own body. And everything you do to your body, the son of your body. It just does. Okay? And I'm sorry for any of you who have surgery or anything in your face and your body. But the Bible says it dishonors you. Dishonors us. That means that doing a surgery for this or that reason is not something honorable.
No.
You know? So be careful with those things. Before you do them, take them in prayer before the Lord. Every time someone had asked me, Brother Avi, I'm going to do this. What should I do? What advice will you give me? Take it to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord. Because even a sister, I remember, I was talking about these things, and I was Sister Amy, heard me talking about the coloring of the hair and all that. She had always done it. And I said, take it before the Lord. And the Lord spoke to her and said, no, leave it natural. So please take it in prayer with the Lord. Let him tell you. So the son of their own bodies among themselves. Okay? You may think it's pretty. You may think it's cute. But Bible says it's the son of your own self. Amen? They change the truth of God into lie. Oh, this body is playing this one, Brother Tony. This is deep.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah, it's
changing the truth into lie. How do you change the Bible into a lie?
Yeah, it reminds me. Reminds me of what happened in the wilderness when the Lord was fasting 40 days, you know, and the enemy came and t- twisted the word. You know, he did quote the word, the Bible, but with the different intention. You know,
yes. It's a good example.
Yeah.
Changing the truth into a lie. Wow. Yeah. And worship and serve the creature more than creator. This is another one that we need to apply it to ourselves.
Yeah.
Because on what do you focus more than God?
Yeah.
Even being on the computer, sometimes I think about it. I spend too much time on the computer. Because I like to look up things and understand things and study things. But if I'm asked, am I spending too much time? So it's, you know, worship and serve the creature, because all these things are created, in other words. They were made.
Yeah.
So they're created more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. That is so true.
Yeah.
Now, for this cause or for this reason, God gave them up unto vile affection. Vile affection. God gave them unto vile affection. My Lord, my God. And vile is wicked.
Yeah.
Affection. How can someone have a wicked affection? Someone may say, this is the way I feel. But it's wicked.
Yeah.
You know? And if you are dealing with someone like that, be careful. Pray about it. Take it in prayer with the Lord, because they may be convincing and well knowledgeable, like professor, very smart, as we have read. But that has nothing to do with what God is saying, because all they do is to mislead people, misguide people. And this is why there are people in hell. Even though they were misled by someone, they still follow someone's false teaching and lies and ended up in hell. And who do they blame? If someone lead you to hell, who do you blame? I'm sure you're going to blame that person, but is that going to help you? You see, we have to check with God about everyone and everything. And since 2012, I've been telling people, take my message before the Lord in prayer. Take it. Pray about it. Okay? And let the Lord lead you. And by doing that, you establish a solid foundation between you and the Lord, because then the Lord will be your foundation. Jesus will be your rock, and no one will move for you. When you go to the Lord, when someone tells you, this is what the Lord told me, this is what the Lord revealed to me, and you take it in prayer, God will say, remember Moses. God told Moses, go have the people watch and come to me early in the morning at the feet of the mountain. When they come to God and they see God come up on the mountain and the mountain trembled, lightning and all, people got afraid and said, Moses, you speak for us. They could not take, according to them, because God is gentle man and loving, and God can speak to you with an audible, beautiful voice. And God was speaking with them with an audible, beautiful voice, all of them, including the children and the elders. They would have heard the voice of God and be happy with it. But then they said, Moses, you speak for us. And that was the beginning of the falling in their relationship with God. When they say that, when you say, no, I want to hear what Pastor so-and-so has to say, instead of saying, Lord, please lead me and guide me and teach me, Lord, your way. Reveal your word to me, yourself to me. When you do that, you're seeking personal relationship from the Lord, which is what the Lord wants. But when you say, so-and-so said it, and I believe it. No, that is very dangerous. You know how many people have led people to hell, my brother and sister, thinking that they were right, they were wrong. Look at the people here in the book in Rome. When Paul goes to Rome, they thought they were right and they were heading to hell. They were heading to hell. Because God gave them up to vile affection, for even the woman changed the natural to use into which is against nature, and that is surgery. The Romans were very famous for their surgery. The woman changed the natural to use which is against nature. You know? Mm-hmm. Likewise, the man leaving the natural use of the woman, burning the lust toward another. Marrying man. Man with man, working which is unseemly, and receiving themselves a recompense for the arrow, which was their meat. They were heading to hell, thinking that they were right, they were wrong. And a lot of people today find themselves in that same situation, thinking that they're right, but they are wrong, my brothers and sisters. And that alone is so dangerous. And you need to be careful with people like that, that may mislead you, that may misguide you and lead you the wrong way, lead you to false teaching, lead you away from God. A preacher of God lead you to God, but a preacher that is not of God lead you away from God to themselves mostly or to something else. Come and I'll pray for you. Come and I'll do this. Well, I'll write to you this, and this will take care of your problem. Nonsense and foolishness. God takes care of our problem. Our Lord is real. Jesus is a real person and can come among us when we call him and heal us and do whatever we ask in his timing. The only thing is that he does it in his timing. A lot of people want it right away. Why do you think we have over 25 or 50, I'm sorry, over 100,000 psychic in America network and around the world? Because people want a word and they want it now. So they call the 800 psychic and they get the word now. But it's a word that will lead them to hell if they keep listening. It's a word that will lead them to hell, away from God to hell, my brothers and sisters. I am telling you, so many people are being misled. And a lot of people don't have the discernment to say whether this man or that woman is of God or not. Just because they're reading the Bible and talking to you about the Bible doesn't mean that they're of God. Because you can have a strange flesh who is already condemned, as we read in the Bible, reading you the Bible. What are you going to get with a strange flesh that the Bible says is condemned from the beginning, reading you the Bible on the internet, on light, on television? What do you think you're going to get? Huh? Hallelujah. Look what happened with Perry Stone. This man, how over 50 million people listened to him in his live program. Until the Lord sent this man from Texas and says, go and bring Perry Stone to the light. And let him know that I'm tired of him deceiving my people. Go and ask him if I came in the flesh or not. He will not tell you that I came in the flesh. He will not, because he's not mine. And people think that Perry Stone is the greatest cookie since Cookie was invented in America. They think the greatest of Perry Stone. And the Lord said through this man, that video has an anointing. I believe it was either in Indiana or in Atlanta when the Lord sent this man and said, Perry Stone, okay, Perry Stone, that the Lord Jesus came in the flesh as a man, and he could not answer that. And when Perry Stone could not answer, that's exactly what the Lord told me, that you will not be able to answer me this. Because you are not his. On video, on camera, when that video was released on YouTube, he called YouTube to have the video removed. But many people already had the video. I saw the video, and I was stunned in my chair, because I have watched Perry Stone a few times. I was stunned in my chair, but I got the witness of this man from the Lord. My sister Barbara, who put up a video yesterday and said that if someone is speaking from God, you will get a witness in your spirit that it's from God. But if you don't get a witness in your spirit, Because Romans chapter 8 tells you that we'll get a witness if we are of God, right?
Yeah.
And there are certain people online making video that you don't get a witness from God in your spirit. You don't get a witness. And Sister Barbara was speaking about that yesterday. And I agree with her. It's true. It is true. A lot of people you hear, you don't get a witness in your spirit that they're of God. But people immediately assume they are. Oh, my brother and sister, be careful. There is so much lie. There is so much deceit. Father, show me this morning, the days to come, the people that are not ready with him, that are not truly repenting, are going to be deceived like they cannot even imagine. Strange flesh are being released, will be released on the earth, and they're going to go about deceiving the people like people have no idea. This is the plan of the enemy. My brother and sister, we're in the last of the last. I hope, like I saw, we're not around when this began. We won't be around. We will be taken out of the way. I believe in the rapture, pre-rapture, the batch of the bride of Christ. I'm standing on that. My brother and sister, I will play in Sister Celestial message here. But yesterday, the day before, she put up a video where three times she denied the rapture. She came against the rapture and those that are going home in the rapture. And I'm not going to play her audio anymore. The Lord told me that if I choose not to play them, it was okay. I'm not playing her audio on the Lord Tower, and any audio will be deleted. My brother and sister, the rapture is of the Lord. Jesus told me that himself, that the rapture is his. His. I'm not going to play anyone on this program that deny the rapture, the pasture of the bride of Christ. Because it is his rapture. It is his day to bring the people home. Come into thy chamber until the indignation passes, he says to the prophet Isaiah. That is the rapture, the pasture of the bride of Christ. I'm sorry for those that used to listen to her here. I will not play her audio anymore. And any old audio about the leader, my brother and sister, denying the rapture to me is important that she has done, and I will not play her audio anymore. My brother and sister, I will play what the Lord has given to me in previous occasion. My brother and sister, in the last hours I have to, but I will not play her audio because no one who denying the rapture would I play on this program. The rapture is of the Lord, and we need to believe that. When I asked Father this morning, I asked him with all my heart, and Father said that the rapture is due. My brother and sister, it came out of his presence with an anointing and power that covered me. I was in total peace enjoying his presence, my brother and sister. But then he wanted to show me the strong delusion that is coming. It is close, but be ye not deceived, Jesus said in Matthew 24. Don't be deceived by any man, by anyone. My brother and sister, stay firm in the Lord.
Cause I
I want you to begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Oh, if the God you serve has been faithful, if the God you serve has been faithful, I want to take 5 seconds and thank him for his faithfulness. And thank him for his faithfulness.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. We serve such a wonderful God. We serve a good God. Thank you, Lord. And he definitely is faithful. So none of us can complain of his faithfulness. Faithful is our God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, God. What an awesome God we serve, my brother and my sister. And we are grateful for his faithfulness. We are grateful for his love, his mercy that endureth forever. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for those, hallelujah, that are joining us tonight. Lord, help your people to join us tonight in Jesus' name, Lord. Send billions and trillions of warriors, angels, archangels, and cherub, Lord. Speak to our life, Lord. Take our worry, our concern. Lord Jesus, as you said in your word, to come to you, Lord. Hallelujah. All that labor, heavy burden. Hallelujah, Lord, that you will give us rest. We're praying for rest, Lord, from you, Jesus, that you, Lord, will help us. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, that you shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. The Lord is dear for us, my brother and sister. The Lord is here for us. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So we are grateful. Lord, send billions or trillions of words, angel. Clean out the air. We bind the strong mental handle in spirit from north to south, east to west, up and down. In Jesus' name, you defeat them, Lord, at the cross. We proclaim, we reclaim, we proclaim and declare victory at the cross in Jesus' name. Mighty Lord, mighty Jesus, mighty Yeshua, mighty God, let your word go forward tonight. Lord, minister, speak to our life according to our need, Lord Jesus. Lord Yeshua, Lord Jehoshua, you are in control. Break the plan of the evil one, Lord, against us, against our ministry, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Increase our ministry, Lord. Let the range, let it reach out to the nation, to the world, to the people. Remove the wall, all bandage of the enemy, Lord. All limitation of the enemy, Lord, remove it. Let our ministry go forward. Let the word that you have given to us, Lord, go forward, Lord. As the last, Lord, hallelujah, work that we need to do for your glory and your praise. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy, Lord. Minister. Minister to your people, the Lord. Minister to your church. Minister to our brothers and sisters, Lord, across the world, across the nation. Let your power, let your word go forward, Lord. And minister to every life listening, Lord Jesus. Every brother or sister, Lord, that will listen to this ministry, to this message, we ask you, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, that your word will go forward, Lord. Your word will be strong, clear in their life and their mind, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, Yeshua name, we pray to the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glorify yourself in our life, Lord. Glorify thyself in our life, Lord Jesus. Lord, that your will be done. Thy will be done on earth, Lord Jesus, as it is in heaven, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. You are a good God. You are awesome God. You are a great God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Yeshua. Let your presence come over this place, this ministry tonight. Lord, send billions and trillions of words, angel, anointing angel. Powerful angel, Lord, every life come under the blood of Jesus, Lord. Bless this message and every word come under the blood of Jesus.
Let us only speak what is of you, Lord. Use us, Lord. Our vessels, our instrument in your hand, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, Yeshua's name, we pray, mighty Lord, mighty Jesus, awaken the sleeping bride, awaken the sleeping of the nation, Lord, the sleepiness, the slumber of the nation, Lord. Bring them back unto you, Lord, as the restoration with you, communion with you, Lord, fellowship with you, Lord Jesus, relationship with you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord, we pray in your name, Lord. Break the plan of Satan against us in the ministry, against our life, Lord. Break the plan of the enemy, of Satan, or demon, or principality, or Nephilim, Lord, or fallen angel. Break their plan against us, our life, our ministry, the family, our health, Lord. Break the plan of Satan, Lord, against our health, against our ministry, against our family, Lord Jesus. Lord Yeshua, in Jesus' name, break every change, Lord. Break every change. Hallelujah, Lord, let it be broken, every change in every life. Listening, that are going to listen, Lord. Lord Jesus, Lord Yeshua, Lord God, hallelujah. We are at the last of the last, before the shofar, before the trumpet sound. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Shalom, Sister Wendy. Shalom, the Lord's servant, Brother Arlie Rob. Shalom. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Praise you, God. We serve a wonderful God. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. This is what I experienced, hallelujah, this week, which was such a blessing. Let me play a little bit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I experienced this going up in the cloud of a very high speed, heading home to heaven. And God spoke to me as I was heading home. God spoke to me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. There were three revelations this week, even four I received. Today, Sunday, being the first day of the week, all the way this going back to Monday, I believe it was four revelation. Thank you, Lord. And both two of them, God spoke to me, and he spoke to me in such a special way. My brother and my sister, his mercy, his love is dear for us. He loves us so much, and we are thankful for his love, my brother and sister. He let me know this is it. This is it, as he has said to me before. As he has said to us before, because he was talking to me. But since I'm talking to you, you need to understand that God has told us this is it. And God is not playing around. God has told us we will come to this time when he will be bringing his people home. And we're at that time, my brother and my sister. Thank you, Lord. And we got to be grateful. We need to be reminded of what God has said and what he is about to do. He's going to take his home. That's what he's going to do, my brother and sister. And there will be a lot of people staying behind crying to the Lord that should have gone home. But he's faithful, and he's trying to bring the last of the last sheep. But the time, as the Lord has said to some of his servants, it's over. People need to understand. Last week, I came here on the Lord Towers. And I said that what the Supreme Court said, decided about Donald Trump, 9-0, the significance of that was that the woman is 9 months pregnant, and we have 0 time before we go home, my brother and sister. But God the Father did not lift the deer. The following day, the following night in the morning, he brings me to this place in heaven, my brother and sister. I knew I was in a place of labor and delivery in the hospital. Place was so holy with the presence of God.
where I was. I'm in all the hospital in heaven. And you will think, why would there be a hospital? The Lord is there. The Lord can heal anyone. But the labor and delivery that he took me to, and I say hospital because that was the atmosphere that I felt as being hospital before. And God was letting me experience the same. It was a revelation. It was an experience God was allowing for me to go through, my brother and sister. Why was I at that labor and delivery place? Okay, here, let me read it for you from 1 Thessalonians 5:3. For when they are saying peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come upon them as a travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. Why is this woman in travail? Why is she in labor pain? Because she's about to have a baby. And women that have babies understand this. Especially when you're due to have your baby, some women don't go to 9 months, but those normally is 9 months. What is that, 39 weeks? And when they get there, they got to go to the hospital, and the baby must be born. And there are complications we talked about. If a woman is due and she's 9 months, and having the baby is delayed. My brother and sister, because the baby will get bigger. He's gaining weight. Not good for the mother. She had to go into C-section. So my brother and sister, I was in that place of labor. And the women was ready to have the baby. And God let me know that what I was saying about Donald Trump, because it came from the Lord, 9 months, he related it to the women that he was revealing to me in this place that was about to have the baby. And I thank the Lord for that confirmation. I thank God for confirming that yes, she is 9 months. She's already in labor and delivery. She's about to have this baby. And we are the baby that are about to be born. The significance of this woman having this baby, it's the significance of the bride of Christ going home. And the zero is the time, the zero, 9-0. The 9 is the month where she's due. The zero is the time that we are supposed to be coming home already. My brother and sister, the rapture of the church is so close, my brother and sister. It is just so close, so close. That we are about to come home, my brothers and sisters. This is it. There's no more time. The Lord God has said that the time that was given was given. And the Lord had even said to some of the people, look, while I knew there was some time left, I worked with you in the past to get you ready for this time. But I knew what I was working with, the Lord has said to certain people. About time. There's no more time for the bride to be going home, my brother and sister. And the bride of Christ is about to go home. This got to be a great news for some. People got to be happy for this, my brother and my sister. Because this major event is about to take place. It's about to happen. The other revelation was the children in our nation being vaccinated. I believe it was past Tuesday. I was talking about this. Children being vaccinated across America. And just as the COVID-19 vaccine, these children, family, people were lining up by hundreds of thousands and millions across America to take a ship on the right hand. And I saw how I knew that this new RFID they're coming out with was smaller, was less painful. I mean, it's so tiny that I believe that when people see it, they won't say, no, okay. And then the benefit that these people were presenting about this ship is it is well advanced. It will contain your medical records. It will contain your banking records.
and you will be able to bank safely. You will be able to keep your medical record safely. Your children will be tracked anywhere. No more stolen children. This chip, according to what they were saying to everyone, will guarantee everyone's safety. Parents can administer the children from home on the tablet, on the computer, easily. Okay? They can see on the tablet, on the phone, that the children is in school. And if for some reason they get out of school, not only would the parent can administer the children, the school can administer them, and the local police can administer the children. So if they're supposed to be at school and they're showing that they're somewhere else, the police can act quickly, is what they were saying to the people. And it seems fine to everyone. Senate and Congress were very excited for this, as they were giving a speech to people that this new RFID, this new tracking chip, it's going to be the most wonderful thing people ever had. And everyone was excited for. But the Lord was letting me know this is the mark of the beast. Okay? I see, when I asked the Lord Jesus about 3 years ago, I believe it was, he was standing in front of me in the spirit. I said, Lord, is the by seeing the mark of the beast? And he says, it is the same. And the same is because it contains nanotechnology. It worked with the 5G. And people have figured that out. Doctors, engineers have figured that out later, that it does contain 5G and nanotechnology in the vaccine. And that's how they can track people. And then not only that, they can control people. And how do you know that, Brother Elvie? In this past election, the Great Tuesday, some states have Biden at 92%, while they have Donald Trump at 80-something percent. If the election go on, this year Biden will win, and some stay by 30% over Donald Trump, my brother and sister. Okay? They got this where they wanted to have it, my brother and sister. And this is the sudden part about all this. It is the sudden part, my brother and sister. But that's another thing. I'm not going to go into that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So, yes, they a lot of trafficking with children. And they believe by offering this RFID, this Mark of the Beast technology, that's going to be put in children's right hand. Right hand, they will not be allowed to put in the left. Even if you ask and request and say, look, I want it to have in the left, they'll say no. It must be in the right hand. The Antichrist is coming back into office and power. Knows exactly what he wants. Time. There were many that got away from not taking the vaccine. He knows this. It could have been a few thousand, a few million. He's not planning to let them get away. He will persecute people. Father God, show me, remember. Okay? Chasing a woman who did not take the vaccine, but chasing her to have the RFID in the right hand. And I saw when the army catch up to her, punch her in her stomach, and said to her, we will not beat you up if you take this chip in the right hand. So she extended her right hand and said, okay. The officer was saying to her, we won't beat you up anymore. Shalom, Sister Regina Rivero. And you will have all the benefit, food stamp and all that. Okay, and that included. That's another thing. The benefit they're going to offer people, food stamp, guarantee. Are you hearing me? I heard this again now for the second time. They will guarantee family, food stamp, guarantee if they take the chip in the right hand, mark of the beast. You heard it here. You have heard it, my brother and sister. Okay? My brother and sister, everything is so close, like people cannot imagine. Okay? People cannot imagine how close it is. We are very close. What I experienced from God was very powerful. Very, very powerful. And he spoke to me. And he said to me, I told you this is it. as I was coming home to heaven. He says, I have told you, this is it. Okay? Oh, I got so excited. I got so excited, when Father spoke to me. He is so loving. He is so caring. He knows exactly what we're going through. He knows my affliction. And I'm very afflicted with all the things that have been going on. Especially when I saw my sons, my two sons coming from school, show me how they got the RFID in the right hand. The mother was going crazy, saying to them, I have told you not to take a vaccine without asking your parents, especially if it's something like the RFID. My brother and sister, they got deceived in this revelation. And I'm praying hard for them. I'm having them read the Bible, read the Word, share. I wish children, teenagers, understand how hard and difficult it is for parents to communicate something as such a major importance. This is people's eternal life. I don't believe my children are going to stay behind for this. Okay? I don't believe that. But times of testing are here. God showed me, Father showed me, the Lord has shown me. Obama is coming back into office. Father says, I will allow him to do this. I will allow him, Father says. The Lord showed me this week, Obama is coming back into office. It's not going back anymore. A lot of people don't see what we are. And I hope they understand we're at the end of the end. My brother and sister, some people will watch other people disappear, will watch other people fly home while they stand there, knowing that they could have gone too. We're at such a difficult end of the road, such a difficult time, my brother and sister. And I feel there's so many people not listening, not taking the work to heart. Look. I was so afraid at the beginning of January when the Lord showed me here in North Carolina, the Hami facing California, the West, about the earthquake coming to California and this eastern tsunami. Then Hami experienced the tsunami coming through North Carolina, destroying this state. So many lives being lost by surprise. Because they were not, some were getting ready to go to work, and boom, the tsunami wiped them. My brother and sister, how else can you get the message to people? This is so hard for preacher, for us to deliver the message. Such a difficult message. People are so caught up with this life. My brother and sister, they don't understand their life. Here is a stake. Their eternity is a stake. Because you need to choose who ye are going to serve, said Elijah, to his generations. This day you need to choose. It came a day in the time of Elijah the prophet that people needed to choose who they were going to serve. My brother and sister. Because Elijah had word from God to put the prophet Jezebel to death. Kill him. Kill them. And anyone there who was part of them, kill them. He says to them, do not let any escape, said Elijah. And they began to put them through the sword. You know what type of that was? Type of the Antichrist. Listen, in Genesis chapter 4, in Cain, we see the Antichrist in a bodily flesh, my brother and sister. Because Cain was of the evil one, the Bible says. How was Cain of the evil one? It's hard to say. But I was listening to this man who was saying, look, when Cain was born, he said, I believe it was in the Hebrew, he was born of the vine. But she did not call Cain son. She called Abel son, but she did not call Cain son. And he said, that's an indication she knew that Abel was not from God. It was divine, like saying he was born of the devil. How did that came about? Who knows? My brother and sister, okay? And he started explaining, because he's saying you can see this more in the Hebrew than in our English Bible translation. And that's why the Jewish people have translated their own English Bible from Hebrew, because in the King James, you cannot see that well. Because in the King James said that Abel, God had granted her, she says, a child. But it's the original word is divine. And when you put in there God, it gets you like, it gets you thinking, why do we see, okay, let me go there to explain it to you. Thank you, Lord. Praise to God. It says, Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have gotten this man from the Lord, Adonai. Okay, Adonai is the word. Okay, Adonai. She conceived and bore Cain, and had, I gotten this from Adonai. Then she again bore his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And then it tells you the story of what came about. But the dislike of God toward Cain, the delight, see, God revealed the mystery to us. God revealed who we are, who is who. And the dislike of God toward Cain indicated that Cain was not his. You know, it's like you got two children in front of you, two child, and God, a child, is saying, I dislike Cain. And if you're there, and you say, but God, you're loving, you're caring, how are you going to reject this child? Look, it's just a child, what, five years old, and you dislike him already? How can you dislike a child? And people think that people are so evil when they say, I dislike this child. And this is the case here with Cain. Cain is a child, but he is dislike of God. Disapprove. Dislike. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. And unto Cain and his offering had no respect. Cain was wrath. Okay? That no respect is dislike. Cain was a child, and God disliked him. It didn't mean that God did not love, because God loved his enemy. Love thy enemy as I love thyself, he says. My brother and sister. But dislike is, and God knew who he was of evil. And that's the part that humanity has a problem with Cain. Oh, he was a child of Adam, like Abel, but he was not. The revelation comes later that he's the evil one. Now, we don't need to understand. See, the thing is with us, we want to get into the point, well, I want to know if she was with the devil. And if she was, that was her problem. But God is revealing to us the situation here. My brother and sister, that's what God is revealing to us. He was not of God. Abel was of God. And God did not reject the Abel. He received Abel immediately, but he rejected Cain. He will not receive him. It's like receiving of the devil back into heaven. So Cain is an antichrist in the flesh. The John said that he was born, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Praise to God. So really, is a really, hallelujah, little children, John 2:18. In the last time, in the last day, ye have heard of Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists. Whereby we know this is the last time, my brother and sister. And then he just says, but well, who is a liar? But he that denies Jesus Christ is the Antichrist, who denied the Father and the Son. So such a thing was Cain. He will deny God, the Father and the Son. My brother and sister. Such a thing was Cain. And every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Such a spirit is the Antichrist. Whereby ye have heard that he shall come, even now already in the world. For many deceivers had entered into the world to confess now that Jesus had come into the flesh, a deceiver and an Antichrist. But many Antichrists, John said, we had, came when he came into the flesh, because the Antichrist coming into the flesh, it's the first type of the Antichrist. And then we go down to his generations. We go to the times of Noah. Okay, there were Antichrists in the times of Noah. There is Antichrist in the times of Lot. Then the Pharaoh and the flesh are also type of the Antichrist, my brother and sister. And there are people that came down, even king that became king of Israel were Antichrist, because they did that. They did. The Bible says they did what was evil in the eyes of God, because they were king that people elected, like King Saul. King Saul was a type of the Antichrist. He was a type of the Antichrist. There was nothing that God kept from Saul that he gave more to David. From the beginning, God was there for Saul. He even prophesied. God showed so much mercy on King Saul, and he always rejected God and his ways. My brother and sister, the same thing with Judah. Did the Lord keep anything from Judah that he gave to his other disciple? Judah was another type of the Antichrist. He sat at the table with Jesus. He prayed for all 12. He made all 12 apostles. He made all 12 apostles. And he had plenty of mercy on Judah. And the first chance Judah get to sell the Lord for a few coins, he takes it like taking a bull by the horn. It's mine, my brother and sisters. He cannot wait for the opportunity to make money on this situation. And he went for it. That's the attitude of the Antichrist. What do you think the Antichrist is going to do when he comes into office? Make as much money as he wants. One thing the Lord showed me years ago. Took me a few times to show me this, to help me understand as a new believer. Because many things I didn't understand. The Lord has to walk with me like a baby and begin to show me the things his word says. He took me into the spirit and took me to places where Satan has trillions and trillions of diamonds, gold, silver accumulated. And he does this from humanity. He'll have his own people working for him. He'll have ways to get money out of the taxpayer. And he'll accumulate diamonds and gold. And you say, if he has already hundreds and thousands of trillions of diamonds and gold, what is he accumulating it for? For nothing, for evil. Just so he can steal from people. Haven't he stolen enough? The devil has been a thief and a robber from the beginning. My brother, and a liar from the beginning. The thief come to kill, steal, and destroy. The devil has been stealing since the garden. In the garden, he stole from Adam and Eve the opportunity of being with God forever. He stole from Adam and Eve the opportunity of eating out of the tree of life. Because at this moment, they're naked. And they have the opportunity eating out of the tree of life, the fruit out of the tree of life, that where they can live forever. And the devil, seeing what they had, envy them, and was looking for an opportunity to steal from them their own eternity, my brother and sister, and not allowing them, having them sin before they can eat from the tree of life. Because the tree of life is a gift from God. Eternal life is a gift from God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And when we receive Christ, we receive salvation, a gift. We receive the Holy Spirit, a gift. We are saved by grace. But the devil knows that if he can try to stop some of us from being ready to going home in the rats of the pasture, he can have a great chance from stealing your eternal life like he did with Adam and Eve, my brother and sisters. Because people can stay behind, angry at God, mad at God, and blaspheme God all the day. In the great tribulation, he can have a chance to torment the living daylight out of them and have them blaspheme God, blaspheme the Holy Spirit, which he knows is the unpardoned sin. He knows this, but he wants to have a chance to keep some lukewarm believer in the great tribulation and torment them, and have them blaspheme the Holy Spirit. My brothers, it's what he wants. He wants that chance, that opportunity. If you're looking for the Lord to go home in the rats of the pasture, the devil can see he's losing that opportunity. I'm trying to keep you with him in the lake of fire, in hell and in the lake of fire. He wants to take advantage of every chance, of every opportunity. That's why we need to take the chance to pray, the chance to repent, our every chance, our every opportunity God gives us. My brother and sister, because this is life and death. This is not a game. That's why I'm surprised with the people, my brother and sister, that should be getting ready, that are not, that are taking it lightly. My brother and sister, let's go to Isaiah 2. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I want to show you the plan of God for our lives in Isaiah 2. My brother and sister, Isaiah 2 says, the word of the Lord, I believe this is the Amplified. The word of the Lord, Isaiah, the son of Amos, so concerning Judah and Jerusalem. So you understand that God has a plan for Jerusalem, Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last day, in the days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountain. God is going to establish a house in the mountain, my brother and sister, at Jerusalem. That's the Messiah plan there with humanity, with Israel. Anyone can come, just see. So on top of the mountain, it says, and it shall be exalted about the hills. In that place, in that house that God's going to establish on top of the mountain, he's going to establish himself on top of the mountain. Okay? My brother and sister. And he'll be exalted about the hills. Now, in other words, people are going to come and worship him there. Awesome. I love it. Okay? And all the nations shall flow to it. The traffic. I saw this in the millennium. I don't remember reading this in Isaiah, but I saw this with my own eyes in the millennium, that there was a flow, a traffic of buses of people from all over the earth. And that was in the new millennium, heading to Jerusalem, my brother and sister. People were excited that they were going there. Thank you, Lord, for that. It says, in all the nations to flow to it, a flow. So many people just going there. And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. Hallelujah. For what purpose? What is the purpose of people heading there? It's in Isaiah 2, the purpose. 3. Let me show you the purpose, why there's so many people heading there all the time. He will teach us of his ways. You see that the way of God are so important, my brother and sister, that the Lord Jesus will never fail to teach humanity the Lord's way, God's ways, because there's only one way to God, and Jesus is the way. And he needs to teach us about himself, about being able to go to God, being able to go to Father, knowing the way, understanding God. I was meditating on this word, where God says through the prophet, my people perish for lack of knowledge. My people lack perish for lack of knowledge. You know that in the Bible, the word perish has to do with people going to hell. Has to do with people going to hell. So God is saying, my people go to hell for lack of knowledge. Okay? It's not the word of God that anyone will perish. Very clear in his word. But God say, my people go to hell for lack of knowledge. And knowledge is him, his word, in our lives, in our hearts, written in our mind, my brother and sister, that we will not lack our understanding of God, of Jesus, of Messiah, who he is for us. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. All that knowledge needs to be in our heart, in our life, written by the finger of God, by the Spirit of God, my brother and sister, daily. daily communion with him. Again, my people go to hell for lack of knowledge, he says. So he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. In other words, you want to walk in the way of God and the path of God? You need to learn of him. Because only the Lord can teach us his way, because he is the way. No one can understand how to get to God like Christ. That's why before Christ, no one can come to paradise and be with God, my brother and sister. They all had to wait in Abraham's bosom from the beginning. So was Adam, as everybody else, asked to wait in Abraham's bosom until Messiah will come to the cross and make a way for everyone to get there. It was shown to Jacob in a dream, a ladder from earth to heaven, in which angel will come down and descend. Meaning Messiah is the only way, was shown to Jacob. Jesus was the only way. That's why when Messiah appeared to Jacob in the night, it was noontime, my brother and sister, and immediately Jacob got hold of him and said, "Thou will not go until thou will bless me." Hallelujah. And Jacob wrestled with God all night long. And the angel of the Lord turned to Jacob and said, "Don't you know that I can kill you?" My Lord, my God. "Don't you know that I can kill you?" And that's where he got wounded. My brother and sister, Jacob got wounded out of it. Hallelujah. But the Lord blessed him. He said, "What is your name, Jacob? Your name shall be Israel." Thank you, Lord. He held on to his blessing. This is what is going to take. The kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and only the violent will take it. You need to understand. You got to get a hold of this faith. Hallelujah. Of this word, which is more valuable than gold and diamond. Thank you, Jesus. This is eternity we're talking about. This is about spending eternity with Father, with God Almighty, in heaven and his goodness. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank you, Lord. My God, my Lord. We will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law. But we out of him will go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Verse 4, and he shall judge among the nations. First time, he didn't come to judge. But in this time, second coming, he'll be there saying, "You are condemned." Hallelujah. That's it. You are going to hell. You are going to the lake of fire. You will not escape my judgment. He's coming to judge the nations. Here's the other part. And he shall rebuke the people. Stop it. Stop it. You stop it. You stop it. Nonsense. Not anymore. I will not tolerate that anymore. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Listen, listen what he's going to tell them to do. This is what they need to do. Hallelujah. He will rebuke the people. And they should be, hallelujah, they should beat their sword into plowshare and their spear into pruning hook. Hallelujah. You stop it. Go ahead and take your sword and make it into a hook for, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Make it into a hook, a pruning hook. Hallelujah. You can prune your plant. Hallelujah. Go ahead. Go prune your apple, your pears. Go prune them. Make it onto a hook that you can prune that. And you, take your sword and make it into a plowshare. Go work the land. Hallelujah. And this is what he's going to do. Nations shall not lift a sword against the nation. Neither shall they learn war anymore. Stop it. No more fighting. I don't want to see you fighting. No more fighting. You stop this nonsense. I want you now to learn of my Father. No more war, he says. He's going to rebuke the nations. He's going to discipline to learn discipline. My brother and sister, Messiah is doing this. He's coming as a judge to judge the nation. He wants discipline in his house. He wants people to stop this fighting, this argument, this disagreement,
that the nations are having. Oh, I don't like you. Oh, I don't like you. No, that nonsense is not going to go with Messiah. He's putting an end to that. He's rebuking them, the Bible says. Stop the nonsense. Hallelujah. He's the judge. And at that very moment, they don't listen, they get judged. And they get removed. No more nonsense, my brother and sister. Oh, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be sweet again. Thank you, Lord. The Lord is going to rebuke them themselves. Hallelujah. So he's bringing his rebuke upon the nation. For at a sign for God for the Lord, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, he shall judge among the nation and shall rebuke many people. And they should be, hallelujah, their sword into plowshare, beat it. They're going to beat it. They're going to form it into that. Their spear unto hook. Nation shall not lift a sword against the nation, neither shall they learn word anymore. In all house of Jacob, come ye, let us walk in the light of the Lord. It's going to be beautiful. I've seen it. I've been there. I have rejoiced there. I tell you, Messiah, don't allow nonsense anymore. No more nonsense. No more disagreement. Oh, I don't like you. I don't like you. Go back to your country. Do this. Now that nonsense is going to be over. My brother and sisters, no more fighting. No more, this is my land. No, whom the Lord gives it to belongs to that person. That's it. Hallelujah. My brothers, the nonsense are practically over. Hallelujah. Bribe will be taken out. 7-year great tribulation. Messiah, return of the end, put an end to all this, put this through fire. Bring us to our millennium kingdom reign. And we'll begin a reign of 1,000 years with Christ. This earth, this heaven will be no more. It says it will pass away. I love the beauty of passing away because it's like dumping something in the garbage. My brother and sister, that dumping this earth into the garbage, my brother and sister, will be no more. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I love the part that it will not even come to memory. Hallelujah. So beautiful that people will not remember. Even if they try to remember, hallelujah, they won't remember. They won't remember what they went through in this life, the headaches, the pain, the suffering. Why would God want them to remember that? Thank you, Lord. Look what he says. John, I saw a new heaven, a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth pass away. Oh, I love it. 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 I tell you, I love it. No more. This dirty, hallelujah, contaminated air, contaminated water, contaminated food is about to go into history. Our sea is contaminated. Our air is polluted. Our water is contaminated. Everything that we know here is contamination, sin, and evil. It's all about to go into history. It's all about to be forgotten, my brother and sister. It's beautiful what God has planned for us. For them that love him, the Bible says. My brothers and sisters, hallelujah. Listen, I saw new heaven and new earth. The first heaven and the first earth have passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming out of God, out of heaven, prepare a bride adorned for her husband. It's going to be sweet. It's going to be beautiful. My brothers and sisters, hallelujah. I say this, for behold, I created a new heaven and new earth. The former shall not be remembered, nor come to mind. What do you remember about your past life? And you're scratching your head. No, I don't remember. I don't remember. I just remember that I had served the Lord, given my life to him, committed myself to him, and that's it, nothing else. Oh, it's going to be beautiful. I'm telling you, this is what we're about to come into. All this evil earth and contamination is about to be gone. Gone, disappear, pass away, no more. A trash can. This earth is about to be a trash can. And even worse, the nuclear weapon that's going to go off here during the Great Tribulation, it's going to make this place like a hell. Unlivable. It will not sustain life anymore. My brother says, no clean water anywhere. No sea water clean, nothing. It's all complete polluted. It will kill you to be alive in the Great Tribulation. Just to be alive, it will kill you. And I know this because the Lord has taken me there. And because the people, look at the mercy of God, people cannot die during the 7 years. Great tribulation. I saw people holding their stomach in pain, and I heard them say, it hurts, it hurts, it hurts. Just breathing, it hurts. Just living, it hurts. The water they drink, muddy, nuclear waste in it, radiation, and just to try to put some liquid into their stomach, they drink it and it hurts. It hurts. And they go on all day long, it hurts. It hurts, holding their stomach in pain. My brother and sister, I learned of some people. I learned of this man, and it was so many other people, had not eaten for over a year in the Great Tribulation. I didn't think someone can go on over a year in hell. Okay, that's normal in hell. In hell, that's normal. But I didn't know that in the Great Tribulation, someone can go on for years without eating. Years. I saw it. This man told me so. A grown man in his 50s, crying like a child, a strong big man, telling me he had not eaten, drank anything in more than a year. And I can see his stomach. He looks like he was a large man. I can see his skin hanging, dry, like it was all dry, bone and skin. Because a lot of people in America are having weight or overweight. And going into the Great Tribulation, 300-400 pounds. And then spending years without eating, you lose all that weight. Because in the beginning, the first 2 years of the Great Tribulation, people go crazy eating everything. I mean, because there are so many people turning into werewolves and all that. A lot of people are hiding. They're allowing the werewolf and the beast to eat all the deers, all the dogs, any cats, birds. It gets to the point where there is not a single life by the middle of the Great Tribulation. And then there are some people alive. Then you got the parents there, the mother that are having children, that at the day of birth, they're eating their own child to stay alive. When I saw that, oh, my Lord, my God. Oh, my Lord, my God. Is it better never to be born at this time? Oh, my Lord, my God. When I saw that husband with a machete after his wife was on her bed having her baby, and he was getting ready with the machete, at the moment that I arrived there, the Lord brings me there. You know, he was getting his, sharpening his knife. He had two knives in his hand. One was like a machete. The other ones are like a larger knife. And he was sharpening them against each other and sharpening them against each other. We used to do that back in the island a lot. And I'm like, well, and my first thinking is he probably had turkey, a chicken, or something, a wild turkey, wild chicken. I didn't realize that by this time there was no meat at all on the earth. I mean, you can look for wild turkey or anything in the United States. You could not find it for a mile. You don't want to walk a mile without water and food, because then you got to throw yourself on the floor and breathe as you can. This is basically the life these people have. And so, and he's crying. And I heard him say, oh, no, God, I don't want to do this. And I heard the wife say, honey, oh, you're not going to do this to our child, honey. And he was saying back, honey, please don't even mention it. Try to put it off your head. Please try to put it off your head. She just had her baby. The umbilical cord was still attached to the mother because she was so weak, she could not even cut off the umbilical cord. The husband has to go and cut the umbilical cord and grab the baby, my brother and sister. And I can hear the baby crying. And the mother just laying there skinny. The bigger thing that she had on her was the baby being born. My brother and sister, the blood was still on the bed. It was a horrible scene. And my stomach, I began like, my stomach, I wanted to throw up. because of the whole situation. But God wanted me to watch. Because how else am I going to come here and tell you about it? My brother and sister, you do not want to stay behind. I don't know what you heard about the Great Tribulation. But the Great Tribulation is not like a trip to the Caribbean or anybody else or anywhere else, my brother and sister. It is hell on earth. When someone describes it as that, I say that's a perfect description. It's hell on earth. That's what the Great Tribulation is. Hell on earth, because all the demons from hell comes to the earth anyway. So it is hell on earth. Dead is walking around. Hell is walking around. The lady hell is walking around. The demon hell of man is walking around. So it's horrible, okay? And then Apollyon, who is one of the horrible demons I've ever seen in my entire life. I don't think I've even seen Satan how horrible than he is. He's horrible. My brother, he is horrible. I saw him grab my friend in hell by the head with one of his hands and gave him over 100,000 watt over his hand, burning him. He was screaming to the top. My friend, who broke his shoe leg in a truck accident, is trying to run from Apollyon. Apollyon says to him, "You better not run away. Try to run away from me, because then I will do you worse." He grabbed him by the head, and out of his fingernail came over 100,000 watt voltage of watts, burning his head. But he was screaming, because you cannot die in hell. It's just torment, torment, torment. So this man says to me, "Oh, this is all we have to eat, the Great Tribulations. We have no other choice. I have a nail in a year," so my wife. You know, you can eat leaves. A lot of people think it's all steak and beef and pork and bacon and all this. You can eat leaves. Get creative. Plants are still giving out leaves. There's some leaf you can eat. Hey, cow are big, an elephant, and all they eat grass. Eat grass. I guess we're going to have to do a study here in kind of, there are grass you can eat, can really eat. It's edible. Think about it. If animal can eat grass, we can eat grass too. It's not poisonous like some people think. Can go around where the grass is tall and grab a bunch of it and, cut it. And, I heard a study. Someone did a study of eating grass is good for you. I thought it was funny. But, that will help people in the Great Tribulation. It looks like we need to educate people, inform people, even on what they can eat. You can eat grass. Grass is good for you. Because there are people staying behind the Great Tribulation. They don't know they can eat grass. They're looking for meat. They're looking for this, all that. You don't have Burger King or McDonald's anymore. You're not going to find fast food place anymore. It's going to be terrible. But eat grass like a cow, like an elephant. And if you learn to eat it, I tried some grass. Someone, a brother said to me, "Brother Obi, this grass that you can eat," and he sent me some, and I tried it. It was a bit sour, but I tried and I ate some of it. I was taking it. Am I an animal? I'm eating grass now. But you know what? It kind of helps you to lose weight and things like that. You can look it up on Mount Amazon. You can, his brother said, "Brother Obi, grass is, there's a grass that is good for you." And send me all the information, all the benefit of it. I'm telling you, some of you, I'm sure you have it. You can share it with people who stand behind the Great Tribulation. People can eat grass. They won't have meat to eat, like cows, chicken, and all that. They'll all be gone. But they can, if they learn to eat grass, those staying behind, it will help them. And grass can be collected. And since they're going to be back anyway, everywhere, flying everywhere, you can go ahead, yes, moringa leaf, you can eat. And you can collect grass, store it in a bag, or do like they do with animals. Learn to keep grass. People keep them in a barn for the animal for the winter. And guess what? It works. Keeps them alive and healthy, my brother and sister. If we learn to apply this to human, you can wash it very well. Maybe you can wash it with vinegar, lemon, whatever flavor. Or maybe you can add a flavor to it. That's another thing you can do. My brother and sister, add a flavor to it. Try to keep some flavor around. And that will help people in the Great Tribulation, my brother and sister. If you can change your diet, for those that are staying behind, it will be easier to maneuver the life, to manage the life during those 7 years. Because the Lord is coming back at the end of the 7 years, for sure. The rapture, departure of the bride is about to happen, my brother and my sister. Here's what happened. We were waiting for the rapture in the days to come. And what did I hear, my brother and sister? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Yeshua. Let me play what I heard. And then... Yeah, when I tried grass, I was thinking, wow, now I'm eating like animal. I thought it was funny. Hallelujah. But you know what? I tried it. It was not what I thought it would taste better. But you know what? It's good for you. Good for your health. So we just, you know, if you don't want to eat someone else, because some people that's been taken to the Great Tribulation have seen other people eating other people. Like in the situation I saw. And that's horrible. You know, carnivorous. The people turn carnivorous. That's a sin also. Not pleasing to the Lord. Okay, let's go back to Isaiah. Okay, my brother and sister. Because what the prophet, what God says here through his prophet is very important. Amen. Isaiah 2:6. For thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they are replenished from the east, are soul sawyer, like the Philistine. They please themselves with children of strangers. Okay?